they came in, crossed the finish line together.
Bike race results, now that almost 1,200 bicycles are off the highway. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story after this. Haynes artist Sarah Cohen is being recognized for her work. And in addition to the old pat on the back, she's actually getting something she can use. Thousands of dollars.
I got a phone call, actually, from Jeff Baird at the Rasmussen Foundation, like 2 weeks before they announce it, actually. And it was kind of those, one of those like, wow, I don't recognize that number. And then you pick up the phone.
He told her she was selected to receive a project award. He told her she could have $5,000 to do pretty much whatever she needs to do to be a better artist. Then he told her the hard part.
The hard part was he said I couldn't tell anybody for 2 weeks before they, because they have an awards, a ceremony and stuff up there, you know. And I was like, God, well, who can I tell that won't tell someone else? That? So I did tell a few people.
Cohen was one of about 30 composers, painters, sculptors, etc. statewide who are receiving individual artist awards from the Rasmussen Foundation this year. Cohen's already known as an artist locally. She has pieces hanging at the Haynes School, has been featured in the six-week spotlight at the town's Sheldon Museum, works out of a shared studio at Dalton City, but she's also a cook at the New Mexican food restaurant and not a full-time artist yet.
Oh, no. No. Nope. How about an ever-increasing amount? Yeah. That will hopefully someday be the priority. It's a process, but yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely the goal. Yeah. And this is a big help, for sure.
As some artists put it, there's a lot of moral support, but not much financial support for artists at Cohen's level.
Well, other than the Rasmussen, I haven't really found a whole lot, other than just, you know, taking it upon yourself to apply for shows as much as possible and try to get your work out there. And there's, you know, there's like 1% for the arts and those kind of projects, which I've done one of those. Yeah, it's tough.
That's what makes the Rasmussen grants so unique, because it goes straight to Sarah, the visual artist from Haynes, and Michael, the composer from Bethel, and Earl, the folk and traditional artist from Cheeback, and Jill, the dance artist from Eagle River. The Rasmussen Foundation was created in 1955 to promote a better life for all Alaskans. The foundation launched a multi-year initiative to make a significant investment into arts and cultural resources of the state in 2003 and has since awarded 230 grants totaling $1.7 million to Alaskan artists, including Haynes Burn Power in recent years for his puppetry. Cohen says she plans to create a whole new body of work for an April 2012 solo exhibit.
I am going to buy equipment, glass equipment mostly. I wrote my proposal for everything that I need basically to set up a functioning hot shop to run my torch that I have out at John and Sharon's right now. And I need another torch of a different size and a glass kiln and a kneeling kiln and all sorts of tools and more glass.
And it's about time. This year she submitted her third application for this particular award. And she adds that last year's show put on by the Sheldon Museum might have helped her land it this time.
And so for this time, I had all the slides of the work that I had at the museum show. And I think that was huge.
Cohen is known for her glasswork, wall hanging sculptures and collage, but says she doesn't feel defined by a particular medium.
Even though a lot of my work is including like found materials or some kind of natural materials or ceramic, to have any kind of glass element in there with that, I need all of this stuff.
21 other project awards also went out to artists at the same level in other parts of the state. In addition, 8 artist fellowships go out in the amount of $12,000, and Ketchikan's Ray Troll receives the $25,000 Distinguished Artist Award. Close to 1,200 cyclists and bikes turned the length of the Haynes Highway into one big bike lane on Saturday for the 19th annual Kluwani Chilkat International Bike Relay. Judy Ewald is one of the U.S. members of the board behind the event.
No accidents means a successful race. Good weather means a great race.
She also rides in the race. And riders say this year they encountered some of the most favorable conditions ever, with a slight tailwind most of the way that allowed many experienced riders to shave an hour off of the previous year's time.
The weather was just a kick of a tailwind, you know, on the first couple legs. Leg 5 had nothing compared to what it can be, because it's just horrible. Crosswinds, headwinds there. little bit of rain, but most people wasn't, you know, you didn't get soaked.
The first people across the finish line around 2 p.m. Saturday were only 3 minutes from breaking an event record.
And that's because of the lack of headwind. A headwind, it can slow you down 2 or 3 miles an hour when you're on a bike, which if you don't ever notice it, driving your car, go out the 10 mile and walk to town someday when the wind's blowing.
Two riders from Fairbanks teams, Bring Back the Draft and Big Log and Old Dog, spent the second half of the race drafting off of each other in turn. The racing technique, which requires one rider to lead and another to trail close behind, helps riders by reducing wind resistance. By the time they drafted together for about 3 hours and got to the finish line, they couldn't decide who should take first and who should have second place.
And they came in, crossed the finish line together. When you dip the stick, it's going to record different times, but at their request, we can go in and change it so they have the same time. And they did that. I think last year was the same thing.
Those four guys who won know each other already, but that kind of partnership and camaraderie isn't rare in this race. The enthusiasm is evident in the costumed riders throughout the route, and the sportsmanship is clear along the roadside and in the race, explains Ewald.
It's basically Alaska Yukon bicyclists who know each other. And it's just, it's a friendly, fast race. Teams way at the back, they change riders. That rider comes in and he or she is jazzed to be finishing. And they're whipping off that stick to give it to the next person. And they're cheering them on. And that person goes flying out. And they're 90th out of 93 riders, you know. Teams, they don't care. They're doing it because they're doing the best they can.
Besides a lack of headwind and crosswind, some of the best news for riders was the short wait time at the border. Last year's wait time of up to 2 hours was a distant memory.
Customs was 15-minute wait max, which is super, considering, you know, they've only got so many people and they've got to run you through the rad thing. No complaints there at all. Everything went fine from both sides because I've talked to customs, and that's a plus. Sometimes you don't get that.
There were no injuries or major complications during the race. All riders were in by 8:30 p.m., about an hour earlier than usual. Board members say fewer reckless drivers were seen. Overall, safety precautions and efficiency has improved with each year.
And that's one reason we're limiting the number of riders and the big setups at checkpoint going out of 1 and 2. I don't know what we could do for more safety. You know, you can't teach common sense.
More local teams raced this year, and when your friends who rode said they had a great time, they mean it. Most of the local teams placed in the top half of their categories. Sockeye Slammin', the Sockeye Cycles team out of Skagway, won the mixed eight category again, with an overall time of 7 hours, 21 minutes, 14 seconds. Team FF out of Haines took 9th, Border Riders 23rd, The Shenanigans 26th, Search Clinics, TYHA Cough 29th, Haines Gang Green 31st, and Ride On of Haines got 51st out of 73 teams in the category. Soft and Supple out of Skagway won the men's 8-person category. Two for the Road, the only local team entered in the men's 2-rider category, placed 9th. The KHNS team, the only local women's team, placed 6th out of 18 teams in the women's 8-person category. The ladies gave their rundown of each leg, each famous in its own way, at the end of the race.
It was so much fun, but all in all, I went so fast that no one saw me.
Leg 2 was long, beautiful dropping into Desi Ash.
3, good hills, like that climb.
It was sweet. It was downhill, it was uphill, and beauty. It was awesome.
And it was
5. I liked it all.
6. Fast, furious, and wet.
7. I like the support from all the other people on the race. They were just fun and supportive, and dressing up in costume was fun.
Coming in was great. Coming in strong. Lost my chain. That was a little snafu, but put it back on and finished strong. Go KHNS!
Tour de Haines placed 5th in the mixed 4-team category, with the Half Baiters of Haines in 10th. Skagway's Bacon, Krusty's Skagway Steamer, and Two Wheel Terror basically finished together for 17th through 19th place. It don't matter to me, another Skagway team took 29th in the mixed 4 category, which had 54 teams total. 3 Haines riders entered the solo category, with Jordan Piper placing 5th overall in the women's race.
I'm really impressed. Jordan Piper came in, and she wasn't really that far behind the winners. I'm impressed with doing a solo, something I'd never even think about.
About 250 volunteers helped on both sides of the border, with more than 70 on the Haines side. A KCIBR board works year-round to organize the relay. Their general meeting in late summer, early fall, is open to anyone, including people interested in serving on that board.
New board members means new ideas.
And Ewald is expecting a big year next year, which will mark 2 decades of International Bike Relay.
I think we'll fill up. We'll hit the maximum. Teams that have ridden it before, I think, will come back. We're going to try and do a really nice rider shirt. Something to really stand out that, hey, we made it 20 years.
The amount of riders nearly reached the limit, but wasn't too overwhelming for Haines. Tents and trailers scattered throughout the parade grounds, and Haines just about doubled for the weekend. But it still didn't feel crowded, ends Ewald.
You've met people who are your friends up in White Horse or vice versa. You know, somebody you can call and say, well, I'm going to be in town. What's a good ride? Or, you know, what's going on? And I think culturally, it just draws us closer into the Yukon. You have more friends up there.
I'm Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS. Just go online if you want to see images that accompany our newscast today at khns.org.